Chapter 31. Noiselessly over invisible things with stooping and indefinite movements. His voice, heard in that remoteness, where he could be glimpsed mysteriously busy with immaterial cares, was no longer incisive, seemed to roll voluminous and grave mellowed by distance. Apostrophe ND, because you not always can keep your eyes shut, there comes the real trouble, the heart pain, the world pain. I tell you, my friend, it is not good for you to find you cannot make your dream come true, for the reason that you not strong enough are, or not clever enough. Dot ja. Dot dot dot, and all the time you are such a fine fellow too. Why? Was? God im Himmel. How can that be? Ha. 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 The shadow prowling amongst the graves of butterflies laughed boisterously. Apostrophe S. Very funny this terrible thing is. A man that is born falls into a dream like a man who falls into the sea. If he tries to climb out into the air as inexperienced people endeavor to do, he drowns nicht dot 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 no. I tell you. The way is to the destructive element submit yourself, and with the exertions of your hands and feet in the water make the deep, deep sea keep you up. So if you ask me how to be? His voice leaped up extraordinarily strong, as though away there in the dusk he had been inspired by some whisper of knowledge. I will tell you. For that too there is only one way. With a hasty swish swish of his slippers he loomed up in the ring of faint light, and suddenly appeared in the bright circle of the lamp. His extended hand aimed at my breast like a pistol, his deep-set eyes seemed to pierce through me, but his twitching lips uttered no word, and the austere exultation of a certitude seen in the dusk vanished from his face. The hand that had been pointing at my breast fell, and by, coming a step nearer, he laid it gently on my shoulder. There were things, he said mournfully, that perhaps could never be told, only he had lived, so much alone, that sometimes he forgot. The light had destroyed the assurance which had inspired him in the distant shadows. He sat down, and, with both elbows on the desk, rubbed his forehead. And yet it is true. In the destructive element immerse. Dot dot dot, he spoke in a subdued tone, without looking at me, one hand on each side of his face. That was the way. To follow the dream, and again to follow the dream, and so you agusk ad finem. Dot dot, the whisper of his conviction seemed to open before me a vast and uncertain expanse, as of a crepuscular horizon on a plain at dawn, or was it, perchance, at the coming of the night? One had not the courage to decide. But it was a charming and deceptive light, throwing the impalpable piece of its dimness over pitfalls, over graves. His life had begun in sacrifice, in enthusiasm for generous ideas. He had traveled very far, on various ways, on strange paths, and whatever he followed it had been without faltering, and therefore without shame and without regret. Insofar he was right. That was the way, no doubt. Yet for all that, the great plain on which men wander amongst graves and pitfalls remained very desolate under the impalpable piece of its crepuscular light, overshadowed in the center, circled with a bright edge, as if surrounded by an abyss full of flames. When at last I broke the silence, it was to express the opinion that no one could be more romantic than himself. He shook his head slowly, and afterwards looked at me with a patient and inquiring glance. It was a shame, he said. There we were sitting and talking like two boys, instead of putting our heads together, to find something practical, a practical remedy for the evil, for the great evil, he repeated, with a humorous and indulgent smile. For all that, our talk did not grow more practical. We avoided pronouncing Jim's name, as though we had tried to keep flesh and blood out of our discussion, or he were nothing but an erring spirit, a suffering and nameless shade. Enna, said Stein, rising. Tonight you sleep here, and in the morning we shall do something practical. Dot dot, he lit a two-branched candlestick, and led the way. We passed through empty dark rooms, escorted by gleams from the lights Stein carried. They glided along the waxed floors, sweeping here and there over the polished surface of a table, leaped upon the fragmentary curve of a piece of furniture, or flashed perpendicularly in and out of distant mirrors, while the forms of two men, and the flicker of two flames could be seen for a moment stealing silently across the depths of a crystalline void. He walked slowly a pace in advance with stooping courtesy. There was a profound, as it were listening, quietude on his face. The long flaxen locks mixed with white threads were scattered thinly upon his slightly bowed neck. Apostrophe E is romantic, romantic, he repeated. And that is very bad, very bad. Dot 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 very good too, he added. But is he, I queried. Apostrophe Us, he said, and stood still holding up the candelabrum, but without looking at me. E evident. What is it that by inward pain makes him know himself? What is it that for you and me makes him exist? At that moment it was difficult to believe in Jim's existence starting from a country parsonage, blurred by crowds of men, as by clouds of dust, silenced by the clashing claims of life and death in the material world, but his imperishable reality came to me with a convincing, with an irresistible force. I saw it vividly, as though in our progress through the lofty silent rooms amongst fleeting gleams of light, and the sudden revelations of human figures stealing with flickering flames within unfathomable and pellucid depths, we had approached nearer to absolute truth, which, like beauty itself, floats elusive, obscure, half-submerged, in the silent still waters of mystery. P. Perhaps he is, I admitted with a slight laugh, whose unexpectedly loud reverberation made me lower my voice directly. But I am sure you are. With his head dropping on his breast, and the light held high, he began to walk again. Well, I exist too, he said. He preceded me. My eyes followed his movements, but what I did see was not the head of the firm, the welcome guest at afternoon receptions, the correspondent of learned societies, the entertainer of stray naturalists. I saw only the reality of his destiny, which he had known how to follow with unfaltering footsteps, that life begun in humble surroundings, rich in generous enthusiasms, in friendship, love, war, in all the exalted elements of romance. At the door of my room he faced me. Why yes, I said, as though carrying on a discussion, and amongst other things you dreamed foolishly of a certain butterfly. But when one fine morning your dream came in your way you did not let the splendid opportunity escape. Did you? Whereas he. Dot Stein lifted his hand dot and do you know how many opportunities I let escape? How many dreams I had lost that had come in my way? He shook his head regretfully. It seems to me that some would have been very fine, if I had made them come true. Do you know how many? Perhaps I myself don't know. Whether his were fine or not, I said, he knows of one which he certainly did not catch. Everybody knows of one or two like that, said Stein, and that is the trouble, the great trouble. Dot dot, he shook hands on the threshold, peered into my room under his raised arm. Sleep well. And tomorrow we must do something practical, practical. Dot dot, though his own room was beyond mine, I saw him return the way he came. He was going back to his butterflies. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.